let's begin. Let us please begin. We're up to parasha. This week is a very chashuva. It's always chashuva, but this week we have something very special. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. Chazak, chazak, parasha.
We have a break.
Parashas Pikudei indeed is a parash hafsoka. The Dalid Parshiyos. We are in the middle of the Dalid Parshiyos. Parshas. Four lines. There are four empty lines in the Sefer Torah between Chumashim. That is the Halacha Shulchan Aruch. There must be four blank lines. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. It's also hafsok in the Dalid Parshiyos. Last week was Parsha Shkolim. Next week is Parsha Zohar. After Zohar, we have right away Parshas Parah. And then comes Parashas HaChodesh. Right. This week is the week where there is a break, a hafsaka, revach lehispoinein ben inyan leinyan hafsaka between the Shkolim and Zohar. What's the Musavar? After you deal with money,
you need a break.
you need to purify yourself, cleanse yourself. Okay, there were many gedolim who would not daven Shmoneh Esrei if they with their wallet in their pocket. A wallet in your pocket is a distraction. Davening. Can you imagine what they would say about a davening with a phone in your pocket? All right. In any event, it's Parashas Pekudin. There's a very interesting question. Why is there so much repetition? So much. We learn Parashas Tetzaveh. And we learn about the instructions to build the base, to build the Mishkan. Again, Truma and Tetzaveh pretty much gave us the instructions. Last week in Parshas Vayakel, Moshe. Let's review it. Parshas Truma Tetzaveh is where Hashem privately instructed Moshe what to do. Parshas Vayakel, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Shemayim and he gives a tzivui, he commands, this is what Hashem told me, and let me now convey it to you, let me give it over to you. Parshas Pekudei is, then what? So at face value, you'll say, is that they did it. There are three steps. Hashem tells Moshe what should be done. Step number two, Moshe tells Klal Yisrael what to do. And step number three is they do it. They listen. They fulfill what Moshe commanded. So the whole cycle is complete. So really, there are really three steps in the process of building the Mishkan. Hashem's command. Moshe relays that command to the Jewish people. And number three, the Jewish people, they listen to Moshe and they do what they are told to do. Kasher tziv Hashem es Moshe. That's what you would say. I think that's a fair assessment when you read the psukim at a very simple level. That's what's going on, the three steps of the process. But yeah, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi, in the beginning of Parashas Pekudei, alludes to the difficulty. Why is there so much repetition? And Rashi here says something that is a little bit surprising. It's the first Rashi. There are not too many Rashis in Parashas Pekudei. Short on Rashi. Rashi says, the parsha zu, in this parsha, nimnu kol mishkalei nidvas mishkan lechesef ulezahav ulenechoshes, and v'nimnu kol kelav lechol avoidosai. Rashi throws in a monkey wrench, and he says the purpose of this parsha is not to relate that Klal Yisrael did what they were told to do. But the purpose of this parasha is to count. To count. We want to count all the money. How much money was distributed? How much money did everyone give? How much money came in for gold, silver, and copper? And number two, let's...
Parasha for accountants?
Yeah. Okay. And number two, then after that, no, that part of the parasha doesn't take that long. That part of the parasha only goes like to the first aliyah. They counted how much gold, how much silver, how much copper. And part two of the parasha is to count the kelim. And that really takes up the rest of the parasha. Is to count. Is to take inventory. Is to count. This we have in the Mishkan, we have an Aron. We have in the Mishkan a Shulchan. We have a Mizbeach Hazav, Zeach HaNechosh. We have Urios. and we have Krushim, and we have the count.
So we had before, earlier in the Sefer, we had, okay, make this, and make this, and now it's like checklist.
Checklist, right. It's accounting. Not what I just told you. It's a very big difference. What I just told you, if you ask the average person, why do we have three times in the Torah all the Mishkan? So read the Pesukim. First time Hashem spoke to Moshe, this is what I want you to do. Part two, Moshe now goes down from the mountain and he tells, this is what Hashem said you should do. And now this parsha is kasher. They did this. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. They did what they're supposed to do. We're giving everyone credit. You good guys. You did what you're supposed to do. You gave the money. You built it. You put it up. Congratulations. Rashi, in the very beginning of the parasha, says that's a mistake. That's not the purpose of this parasha, to tell us that they listened. I guess, of course, they're going to listen. You don't have a choice. Hashem tells you to make the Mishkan. Of course, you're going to make the Mishkan. There's a different dimension, and that is, we just want to sit back now and count the money, and we want to take inventory of what we got here. What is that all about? So Chazal tells us, so there's another Chazal, I want to suggest, what's the purpose over here? There's another Chazal that tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts, after the Egel, Hashem counted the Jewish people. And the number came out to 603, like in this week's parasha, 550. 603,550. That counting was exactly the same as the counting that took place before the Egel. And Rashi, back in Parshas Kisisa, asked the question, why are you counting again? You just count. What's this all about?
We just killed 3,000.
Oh, so Rashi explains there that Rashi explained, right, how many of the leftovers. So Rashi explains, okay, and right, how is it exactly? Rashi asked the question, how is it exactly the same? Right. So he gives an answer. Yes, of course they were part of the number. Erevah were part of the number. You're talking about the United States of America.
Who's Shea?
Yeah.
What?
They say that the New York census is incomplete because they didn't count all the migrants.
God help us.
That's why they have migrants. 20 million people. 20 million people. What? Even if they don't vote, but the census for the district.
No. It's the more seats.
They get more seats. That just a body automatically corrupts the voting system of the congressional districts. Just them being there sways it 5%. 5% in favor. So okay, that's the asking question with the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav made a lot of trouble. So Rashi says, why do you have to count it again? Rashi explains because of Chiba. Let me see if I can find the pasuk. Why was there another counting? This is the beginning of Parash Kisisa. Rashi gives a mashal like a shepherd. A shepherd, when there's a magefa, after the magefa, he wants to count the sheep to see how many survived. Rashi explains, when you count something multiple times, let's see over here is the Rashi of why the repetition. Let me see. Dover Acher, L'chaper al nafsho seichem. Gimel Tumois, Adonim, Vashenis, let me give one second over here. Vashlishis, Vinasata, Moshul, Litsoin, here it is. Vinasata, Oisoy, Alavoidas, El Moed, Lomadatosh, and Itstavu, Limnoisam, Bitrilas, Nidvas, Mishkan, Achar, Maise, Egel, Mibne, Shenichmas, Bohem, Magefa, Kemoshenema, Vigavashem, Salom. Moshul Litzoyin Hachaviva Al Be'olah Shenof Al Bodever Umishapasak Omar Lo Leroye Bevakoshimcha Minei Esoini Vida Kama Nois Shubohem Lohidia Shehi Chaviva Olav. You count something that is precious to you. Money. You count money. People know how to, that's what I actually say. If you want to know a person's Freudian slip. What is a person? A person's multi, what's the expression? You can speak many languages.
Multilingual.
Multilingual. You know many languages. What is a person's true language? What is the yisoid? How do you know what a person really, really, which language is part
how
of his,
counts
how he counts the money? Okay, this is an old yisoid.
It's how he dreams.
How do you count? What language do you think in? What language do you dream in?
Okay. My brother said to me, he knew that he made total integration into Israeli society after many years of living there since I started dreaming in Hebrew.
In Hebrew. Very interesting. The question though is, how does he count his money? He doesn't have money.
He
join the club.
He has so much. He just whatever it is. It's
money's not an issue.
Chaim Brisker.
Yeah.
He's down very quickly. So he says he's supposed to
like money. Money, you got it. So this is an old yisoid. How do you count money? The way you count money. The language in which you count money is a revelation of what really who you really are. What language is part of your blood? When something is chaviv, the chavivos, when you're counting something,
is or if it's going to become hefker.
The kiss b'chol shah, a person, something that is precious to you, you count. That's what it says in Parashas Kisisa. Take that yisoid and plug it into this week's parasha. What is the purpose of Parashas Pekudei? To repeat Nochamo again and again. Okay, like we said to you a few times. First, Parashas Tumah Tetzaveh, Hashem privately commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. Parashas Vayakel, Moshe gives over the information to the Jewish people. Parashas Pekudei, the Jewish people, they listen and they do. Lamaisa, they do what they're supposed to do. Rashi says wrong. That's not the purpose of Parashas Kisisa. The purpose of Parashas Pekudei, it's the first Rashi to count. The whole Parasha is counting money and counting what do we have available here in this Mishkan. We have an Oroin, a Shulchan, a Menorah, Mizbech HaZah, Mizbech HaNechoshes, a Kiyar, and everything else that comes with it. It is to count. What is the purpose of counting? Chavivos. This parasha is a very special parasha because this parasha thus, according to Rashi, represents, it's a drush, a chavivos, a whole parasha of the chavivos that the Ribbono Shel Olam has for Klal Yisrael.
But we see also that the parasha counts the people because of the chavivos. That's brought down in the possible.
Okay.
It's a chavivos.
That was the parasha's kisisa. But that's not the whole parsha though. Parshas Kisisa, Rashi on the Rashi. I'm trying the whole parsha, the parsha of Chavivos. Rashi in Parshas Kisisa tells us that why did Hashem demand another counting after the eagle? The Chavivos, because some of them were destroyed because of the Chedo eagle, the Magefa. My shepherd, like a shepherd that says to the like an owner says to the shepherd, count them again. He demonstrates his Chavivos. Okay, that's only a few psukim. The first aliyah of Parshas Kisisa. Rashi in this week's parasha says, "Parsha zu, the parsha zu, nimnu kol mishkalei nidvas hamishkal lechesed zon nechoshes. V'nimnu everything that it says about the mishkan. It's only for one purpose: to count the parts. V'nimnu kol kelov lechol avoidoso. That takes up the whole parasha. This week is a very special week. How often do you lay in a parasha that you can say it's choviv? The whole parasha. Chaviv in Yisrael, they're created as Adam, Shenivra, B'Tselem Elokim. Chaviva Yisera, Shenoidas Lohem, that Hashem made it known to man that they are created in the Tselem Elokim. Here we have a parasha, the Mahus of the parasha. If you connect what it says here, Rashi, in the beginning of Ayakel, with what Rashi says in the beginning of Kisisa, is the revelation that we have a very special week ahead of us. Shabbos tomorrow is a Shabbos of Chavivos, where we're counting, there's no new information. Of course there's no information, but I mean is the bulk of what it says in the parish is just a review of, for a third time of what it said before, and the review over here is together a Chavivos of Hashem letting us know that this Mishkan and the avoid of the Mishkan is very precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's one b'halach. If I want to say another idea, another very simple idea is that when you count something, the sum is greater than, right, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Okay, that is a basic principle. And you can therefore say that since Rashi says here we're coming to count all of the different parts of the Mishkan, back in Parshas Tumah Tetzaveh and Parshas Vayakel, what are we doing over there? You know, there are nice things. There's an Oroin and there's a Menorah. Some people only have Shaychus to the Menorah. They don't have Shaychus to the Oron. Okay, you know, like, I remember when I was a kid, they would say that, you know, you find that by Hanukkah time, all of the people that you thought were Goyim, they all come out of the woodworks and they light their Hanukkah Menorah, they buy their electric Hanukkah Menorah and they put it in the window. There's a chavivos for the menorah that you find people that even they are not affiliated with the Oroin, they have no shaychus to what it says in the Oroin, the Torah. The menorah, the Hanukkah menorah, which represents, oh, that they have a chavivos for. And then there are people that very much are into the Mizbeach, people who have died, who will give up their life, a Jew, they'll give up their life, Al Kiddush Hashem. They're into the Mizbeach, they'll give up their life. There are people that associate with the Ketores, you know, everyone has their niche. This week's parsha, it's not about a single items. You know, it's not about in Parshas Tumah Tetzaveh and in Vayakel where the Moshe commanded. So everyone can say, you know, this is my chelik in the Torah. Your chelik is this. My chelik is this. Everyone can go and chap on to a certain miktsoya of the Mishkan. And this is where my heart, this is how I live my Judaism, this is the part that's for me. Parshas Vayakel Vabekudei, Rashi says, is to count. When you count something, everything has to come together. If something is missing, you can't go forward. You're in camp, you get on the bus, right? You go back on the bus, you have to count. Everyone gets a number, and before the bus can pull out of the parking lot, you got to go through everyone, 1, 2, 3, everyone has to say their number to make sure everyone is present. If one person is present, we go nowhere. We're a unit. You need everything. Parshas Pekudei, Rashi, we're here to count. V'nimnu kol kelov l'chol avodasai. Don't make a mistake and think there are a lot of different elements, and everyone should focus on what is near his heart, what appeals, what resonates with him. No such thing. Every single chelik of the Mishkan is necessary. You leave out one thing of the Mishkan, then there's no Mishkan. Don't just hop on to one little thing. And in fact, when you count everything and you bring everything together, we all know the principle is that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
But there's this interdependence between the individual components and the whole. I mean, each one is dependent on the other.
Who says? That's what I'm trying to say, is that that's exactly what that is the major message of Parshas Pekudei, is that they are, each one is indeed dependent on the other, and if you're missing one, you're missing everything. And if we would not have Parshas Pekudei, you would not necessarily come to that conclusion. Everything is separate. Hashem says to Moshe, make an Aron. And I want you to make a Shulchan. And make a Menorah. And do this and do that. You have Tayag Mitzvahs. Today, can we do all Tayag Mitzvahs? Is there any even one person that can theoretically do all the Tayag? Impossible. There are certain Mitzvahs that are given to some people and not to others. Kohanim do their thing. Levim do their thing. Yisrael do their thing. We're in Golas. Almost half the Mitzvah you can't do in Golas. You can't do Midaraisa. So you can say, oh, you can't do the mitzvahs. If you can't do half the mitzvahs, so who needs to do the rest of the mitzvahs? Who needs to don't do? No such thing. You do whatever you can do. Each mitzvah is independent. Maybe you'll argue when it comes to the Mishkan, every part of the Mishkan is independent. There's an Aron, there's a Shulchan, there's a Menorah. Today we don't have an Aron, so we'll still have a menorah. Let's still make a menorah. Let's make a shulchan. Let's do this. Or, and if you tell me you can't do all those things, at least in hashkafa, every type of Jew will attach themselves to one specific item in the Mishkan, and that will be their identity. Along comes this parasha to count them. When you count something, you're making a statement. Every single part is essential. If one screw is missing, we don't go nowhere. Every element of this Mishkan which represents Klal Yisrael, it represents creation, is necessary. You cannot leave out a single part. Chazal say, Lama Nikru'u Talmidei Chachamim Seifrim. Why are Talmidei Chacham called counters? They're called Seifrim. What is a Seifer? A scribe. But really it means a counter. Why are Talmidei Chacham called counters? Because they count the letters of the Torah. What does that mean? They count. So why do they count? Who's asking you to count the letters of the Torah? Go on vacation. You need them to count. They go tell you to count. There's something much deeper. When you count something, you are making a statement. Every part counts. Every part is necessary to function. If you're missing one item, then we're going nowhere. The reason why they're called Soifrim is because Talmidei Chachamim demonstrate that if you're missing one element of the Torah, then you have nothing. It's all or nothing. Okay, in a certain dimension, of course. You know what I mean? The Torah by itself is a complete body which needs every single part. Halacha l'maisa, not everyone can do every single mitzvah. But to go say that this part of the Torah is irrelevant, and this part we can do away with, and we can ignore, that is apikorsis. Talmidei Chachamim are called Seifrim because they demonstrate that every single part of the Torah is essential. All of the names about B'eis and Chazal give different examples. The Timna, why do you need to know who was the mother, who did Eliphaz marry? Esav, who was Timna was from a foreign nation. Timna married Eliphaz. Who cares? It was one of the Amoraim. Who cares who Timna was? No. Every single Gemara gives an answer, explains why we need to know who Timna was. Every single thing. That's why they're called Seifrim. They demonstrate you cannot omit even one Koitzai Shal Yud of the Torah. You would destroy the Torah. That's why they're called counters. Every element is essential. If Rashi, in the beginning of this parasha, goes to make a point that this parasha is all about counting the kelim of the Mishkan, he's telling you that this parasha is coming to express, in the other two parashios, the other three parashios, we learned about individual items. And this parasha, we're coming to put them all together and to teach us that if one of them is not functional, none of them are functional. They all are intertwined with one another. Even think about the menorah. Where did they light the menorah from? Think on a practical level. Where was the fire of the menorah? The mizbeach. The mizbeach is where when they brought the Ketores lefnai v'lefnim, and they in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Where was the fire? The coals received from. Also the mizbeach. Okay, you have to go study how they're all interconnected. That's on a practical level, they're all interconnected. Their functionality is all interconnected. But in conceptually, what they represent, that is the theme of this week's parasha. Don't make a mistake and think that in the previous parashas they're separate, they're all interconnected. So two different ideas of why what Rashi is telling us about parasha Pekudei. It is the parasha of counting. The whole parasha from beginning to end is counting, enumerating everything that we have. And when it comes to enumeration, milosha number, enumeration, what we're doing over here is, number one, we are demonstrating a chavivus. If it only said it once at parashas Truma Tetzaveh and Vayakel, no, you have a Mishkan, it's just a job. It's just, you know, something that you got to do. You have to pay taxes. So you have a Mishkan, and you have a Shulchan and a Menorah. You do the Avodah. No, it is what it is. The fact that it repeats it again in Parashas and it counts every single item is a revelation that it's not just another job. It is a Chavivus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Chavivus to Klal Yisrael that we have the Mishkan. And number two is that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, meaning every single element is essential for the other element. Don't be misguided and misled and think that each one is separate. You can hop onto what you want. They all are interconnected. All right, let's go to another idea.
Does this say anywhere where the breads that go onto the shulchan were baked? And where was it mixed? Where was it?
Yeah, one of the chambers. There were four chambers in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, not in the Beis where the Kohanim slept in their living quarters.
They had an oven there.
Yeah. In that room there. Yes, that's where they baked. I think there was an oven. I think this is one of the, that's where the Lechem HaPanim was made, in one of the four rooms. Not to be confused with the four rooms, the four chambers in the Ezras Noshan.
Stern's Bakery.
Okay, they had
what?
Stern's Bakery. Question though is, what he really is what about in the Mishkan? Be'er Shlema in the Beis HaMikdash, we have much more, it's a much larger facility. But where in the Mishkan, in the desert, did they bake the bread? Where did they bake the bread in the Mishkan? The Mishkan, all the models.
Lechem upon him.
They had to bake the bread. They had to bake the bread, the lechem upon him, and they brought menachos. You also have to bake the lechem upon him. All there are four types of menachos. They require fire and oil, frying, and different types of pans. So where in the model of the Mishkan, show me in the art scroll model of the Mishkan, where were the ovens? Where did they grind the Ketores? Where in the Azar, just out in the open? Maybe they had a portable oven. What? Because it's Kodesh. Once you do, because it has to be inside the Azar, because it has to be. I don't think Machan Levi is good enough. Because if you take it out, once something is as a kedusha saguf, you're not allowed to take it outside of the azara. It's kodshei kodashim. If kodshei kodashim is taken out of the azara, you're not allowed to eat it. It's possible. Biyotze, chiv karis.
Once it becomes kodesh, when does it become kodesh?
So l'chor, when you bake it, you put it into the kelim. If it's mashing the gemara, when you put the flour into the kli shareis, it gets kedusha saguf. And that can only take place inside of the azara, inside of the curtains. So some, but there are no chambers. Bishlema in the Beis HaMikdash. So there was the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash was halfway inside. Half of the Beis HaMikdash was inside, half was outside. So I don't know. Maybe it's in the basement. Okay, in the Beis HaMikdash, there were a lot of rooms in the basement. There are rooms upstairs. There are rooms along the side of the Heichal. So maybe in one of those chambers they did it. Who knows? Who knows where they did it exactly? But in the Mishkan, you don't have all of these extra rooms and basements and chambers. So where exactly did they bake the lechem upon him? Could you make the lechem upon him from man? I don't know. Luchar or not? I assume not. I assume you cannot do so. The man is not a din of lechem. It's a lechem in Hashemayim. You need to have real bread. Real bread. I don't know. Good question. So they said that, I think Chazal asked that question. They purchased from merchants that passed in the desert. What? Was it Yashan? In the desert, Yashan did not start until they came into Eretz Yisrael. That it says the Chazal. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's discuss something, a short idea, okay, a civil idea. This week's parasha we learned about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, his name is mentioned 18 times in this parasha. Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. And why is he mentioned 18 times? To make up for the fact that in Parashas Kisisa he said to Hashem that if you're not going to forgive Klal Yisrael, Mecheinina Misifecha Asher Kosofta. Moshe says, if you're not going to forgive Hashem, that Herif Mimeni, let go of me, I'm going to destroy them, we're going to start all over, I'm going to make from you a new nation. Moshe said, no way, if you don't forgive them, then so Moshe's name did not appear, a tzaddik makes a gzera, even if there's a condition, and the condition has not been fulfilled, it makes a roisham, and Moshe Rabbeinu, He made a request, and he made a condition. Even though the condition was not fulfilled, the Tanai was not fulfilled. What he said was Niskay. So Moshe Rabbeinu's name is left out in Parashas Tetzaveh because his name was left out. So Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem made it up to him, and Hashem's name, Moshe's name, is mentioned 18 14 times here in Parshas Pikudei. Ka'asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe appears 18 times. In fact, nearly 19 times is a little bit different. Ka'asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe kein osu, and Chazal said that bracha corresponds to v'lamal shinim, the 19th bracha. And there's an interesting Jewish, there it's kein osu b'loshon rabim. In order to get rid of the v'lamal shinim, alti sikva, you have to do it b'rabim. Lech kenois es kol ha'yehudim. Okay, there's a lot of Jewish, I don't want to go down that path right now, but right now there is basically, it says 19 times in this week's parasha that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned in reference to building the Mishkan, and Chazal tell us that corresponds to Hashem is making it up to Moshe Rabbeinu because his name is left out in Parshas Tetzaveh, because he said so therefore payback 19 times his name get mentioned. That's where Chazal said. Now I just want to add a little bit on this and ask a question. There's another Chazal that tells us that because it, like we just mentioned, because Moshe's name is mentioned 18 times or 19 times, that is the reason why we have 19 blessings. Chazal have crafted the Shemone Esrei with 19 blessings corresponding to Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. In other words, when we daven, what are we davening? When we daven to Hashem, it is the equivalent of bringing Karbonis. We no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, so therefore we daven Shemone Esrei, that is in place of Tomishal Shachar, Tomishal Ben Harbayim, and the Haktaras Imurim at night, Ma'arif. Therefore, it's alluded to, Kasher Tziva, since in this week's parasha, the components of the Mishkan are broken down into 18 parts. Okay, you can break up the Mishkan into multiple parts, but the fact that there are 18 sections which conclude Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, that indicates that the Mishkan, in the way it is summarized in Parshas Pikudei, is broken down into 19 parts. Therefore, when we daven to Hashem, which is equivalent to bringing Karbonos in Hashem's Mishkan or Mikdash, we also break it up into 18, 19 parts. There's a correlation. Now the question though is, what does Moshe have to do with this? If Hashem wants to make it up to Moshe Rabbeinu,
you only need one.
So you only need one, exactly. And it doesn't have to necessarily be in the Mishkan. It can be anywhere. It can be some mention that when Moshe dies, so Hashem mentions Moshe, Nachmo, you have an extra pasuk. Chazal can go fine. You can go add an extra pasuk to Moshe Rabbeinu anywhere you want in the whole Torah, in many, many different sections. There are numerous sections, different topics of halacha, different areas of halacha, and punkt, by the building of the Mishkan. The building of the Mishkan, that is where Hashem has selected to make it up to Moshe and add his name in an additional time. And not only did Hashem make it up one time, Hashem made it up 18 times more to correspond to the different components of the Mishkan. Why specifically over here? So I think there are a few messages that are very, very, very simple, but they're ideas. When did Moshe Rabbeinu say to Hashem, Mecheini no Misifrich Asher Kosofta, in the context of prayer? It wasn't just a conversation. Moshe was mispalo. Moshe was mispalo. It was in the context of prayer. So if Moshe's name was the source of his omission was prayer, it's only appropriate that his name should be mentioned in additionally to when it's going to be made up, also in the context of prayer. And the Mishkan is the ultimate source of prayer. Ki beisi beis tefila l'chol ha'amim. It's only appropriate. And because we're dealing with prayer, the Melech expanded to 18, to the 18 components of the Mishkan, 18 blessings of prayer. But there's another message. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name absent in Parshas Tetzaveh? Moshe gave Hashem an ultimatum. If you're not going to listen to me, you're not going to forgive them, then erase my name. So Hashem said, okay, I forgive the Jewish people. I forgive them. That's what we say. Vayomer Hashem solachti kidvarecha. That was by the Merag Yom Kippur. By the Yom Kippur, solachti kidvarecha goes also on the Egel. It's explicit. Solachti kidvarecha. Forgiven. Yom Kippurim. Solachti kidvarecha. I forgive you for the Egel. So we were forgiven. So why is Moshe's name not mentioned? So Chazal answer, we mentioned before, when a tzaddik, a holy person, says something, even if what he says is conditional, and the condition has not been fulfilled, the koyach hadibur of a tzaddik, which is really the essence of man, vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, vayihi adam lenefesh chaya, a ruach mimalila, has an effect. There is a roisham, there is an effect that occurs when a holy person says something. And that's why it had to be fulfilled in one way or another, Moshe's name not to appear to be missing from the Torah, even though the condition was not fulfilled because Hashem forgave us. There is no area in Judaism where that concept has to be remembered more than prayer. Because 99% of the time when we daven to Hashem, we don't see getting answered. You daven 3 times a day for everything you can possibly want. And oilam kiminhagoy nohog. The world goes on as if nothing happened. The world goes on as if nothing happened, and we daven, and all the things that we do, we daven. Nu, where's the money? Nu, where's the dough? Where's the money? Rifa'enu, go look at the hospitals. Rachmana Litzlan, how many sick people there are. Okay, where's the geula? The world is spiraling out of control. Has it ever been so bad where we're a member of the Senate says it's time for new elections. Exactly. And the whole world, and you have a president of the United States that's also, you know, wishy-washy back and forth on what he says. We're living it. Haven't we been davening the Ka b'shofar gadol l'chayruseinu? My high. What Chazal were very clever. They put in the Shemona Esrei 18 blessings. You know why 18 blessings? Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe 18/19 times. Why is Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe 19 times by the Mishkan, the base tefillah? Because Moshe says, Mecheni no, misivich Hasher kosofta. And Hashem took Moshe's name out of Parshas Tetzaveh, so Hashem is making it up over here. Why did Hashem take his name out of Parshas Tetzaveh? The condition was not fulfilled. The dibur, the words that come forth in tefillah from a tzaddik, make a roisham. Even though you don't see it, even though the condition has not been fulfilled. When we daven Shmona Esrei, does it seem that our tefillahs are answered? Doesn't seem so. Moshe Rabbeinu, why should Moshe Rabbeinu been erased? It doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense. Words that you say to Hashem in prayer make a roisham. You may not understand. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't make any sense. Moshe said, Mecheni na. Why should that have been fulfilled? The condition, why should that happen? But Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael. No. Don't you say something to the Ribbono Shel Olam seriously? It makes an impact. When you daven Shmoyne Esrei with Kavana, it has an impact. Oh, no, I don't see the impact. It has an impact. The day will come when you'll see it, or maybe the day won't come, but it has an impact. It has a roishim. It's very clever what Chazal did. when you're frustrated, why do I have to say so many blessings? 19 blessings, 3 times a day. Just say Havineinu. Where do these 19 blessings come from? Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. Where do they come from? Mecheinina Misifrecha. Why is there a Mecheinina? Why does Moshe's name absent? But the condition was not fulfilled. The Koyach HaDibur? When you speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it makes a roshan. When you daven your Shmona Esrei, remember that. It makes a roshan. You may not see the full glory, the full unfolding of the blessing immediately, but never forget where your Shmona Esrei, where your 19 blessings come from. They come from the fact that every dibur you say to the Ribbono Shel Olam makes a roshan. That is what is critical to know, the lesson to take away from the 19 Kasher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe. Don't ever underestimate the toikef of the koyach hatfila to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The day will come when that bakasha will return with incredible blessing. All right, let's now go to another idea. The Kohen Gadol. How many items did he wear on his head? 3 items. Rashi, this week's parasha, the long arichos, this week's parasha, there aren't too many Rashis in this week's parasha, but Rashi elaborates about the tzitz was on the forehead, and on the top of the, well, on his head was his mitznefes, his hat. He didn't wear a black hat. Shocking. Can you imagine he didn't wear a black hat? What color hat was it? It was made from, what was the material? Linen? I don't even remember. Linen? White. And in the picture books, they make it look, well, who says it was white? Who says it was white? Who says? Maybe they dyed it black. Who says it was a white? It was a white. The Kohen Gadol and the Kohen. Maybe the Kohanim wore one color and he wore another color. Doesn't say. I don't think it says anywhere what color his hat was.
What color was the Moshe Rabbeinu's mask?
Doesn't say. Doesn't say. Who knows what color it was? I think when we will see the Bayis Shlishi, we're going to be in for a lot of surprises. A lot of surprises. We think we know everything. We know nothing. But in any event, maybe every mishmar, you know, every you know, like you see, like every, like, you know, like the Avadi Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and his children, they all have different costumes. They all, that's the tradition. They don't wear the same robe. Everyone, they have a special.
No, every chief rabbi has a different robe. It's the same robe, but the
collar.
No, it's because they
the
don't
design.
Want to give it up. That's the reason. They don't want to give it up.
Kind of there's a certain family that makes these.
For the
same design. They get it from.
They're different. They're all different.
It comes from Turkey.
That's right. They're all different. None of them are the same. By this,
they do it different to compete. Rabbi Avadia did not want to give over his robes to the new guy.
No, that's not the reason. That's not the reason. There's a certain distinction. Everyone is unique in their own right. That's not the minhag. That's not the minhag. That's not the minhag.
A certain family that sells it.
Where?
They have a chazaka.
It came from Turkey. They had to get it from Turkey.
And then if you look at Rav Eliyahu, and then you look at Vadi Yosef, you look at Bakshi Daron.
Right.
It's all a different.
They all have different
yeah, like
designs. Okay, well, whatever. Okay, let's go right. The Kohen Gadol wore 3 coverings. He wore 3 coverings on his head. He wore the tzitz. And Rashi makes it very clear in this week's parasha, between the tzitz and his mitznefes was the tefillin. The tefillin. And then on top was the mitznefes. What does it say? What does it say on the tzitz?
The tefillin is not a thing.
Not so pashut, because on Hilchah Shabbos, you go to Masechet Shabbos, if you find tefillin in the street on Shabbos,
right.
What do you do with it?
Put it on.
You put it on, it's a levush. Putting it on, why are you carrying? What are you accomplishing by putting it on? You're carrying. It's a levush. When it's not a mitzvah, okay, you could tumble is what exactly is the status of tefillin. Maybe he's saying good because the tefillin really was called a levush. It's a yitur begodim. He's wearing an extra garment. He's only allowed to wear 8 garments. He's not allowed to wear 9 garments. But yet the Torah says you should wear tefillin. Okay, you can be mefalpel. Mefalpel, what exactly is he bring? You want to bring a riot that the tefillin cannot be called the beged because it would be called the yitur begodim for the kohen gadol to wear the tefillin b'shas ha'avodah. Good kasha, eino chanami. Bottom line is he's wearing three things on his head. Let's not go into lavush. Yes, I don't need that. We don't need to talk about the lavush. He does, Rashi says, Rashi calls chazal, in between the tzitz and the mitznefes was se'or, was here. And on that here, he wore his tefillin. Three items. What's the chiluk between the three items? The tzitz, it says openly, it's begoloi, koidesh la Hashem. The tefillin, in the tefillin, Hashem's name appears 21 times. And those references, those shemois cannot be seen. They are invisible. Invisible. Because why? Not invisible, I take it back. They're sheltered. They're first of all, every parasha, you don't just put a parasha in the box. You have to cover, wrap up each parasha after it's written and it's folded. They take parchment and they wrap parchment around the parasha and they sew it. And then they put it into the bayis. So in essence, the Shem Hashem is triply covered. Because first it's folded, so you can't see Hashem's name. And then they take a piece of parchment and they wrap around it. And then they put it into the bayis. So basically Hashem's name, the 21 times Hashem's name appears in the parasha, is hidden triple, three times. It's folded, it's wrapped with parchment, and it's put into the bayis. But Hashem's name is there. And then you have a hat, a nice hat. The mitznefes for the Kohen Gadol and for the Kohanim called a migbaos. Okay, two different terms, two different hats. What exactly is the difference? I don't know. They're just different. They're whatever they are, but they're different hats. Different brand, different hat. What is the purpose of wearing a hat? So the Gemara makes it very clear. Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim. Cover your head so that you will have fear of God. Fear of God, you have to. It's an expression. Why is that? Why is that so? I don't know. Think about it. You create a separation. When you're afraid of something, you run away. You separate yourself. You make a separation, an acknowledgement. I'm not holding, I don't deserve to be in your presence. I'm afraid. You humble yourself. Okay, you ask a psychologist to explain to you how this works, but the Gemara says explicitly, Kasei roshech kihechi delehevei a yorei shemayim. Cover your head so that you shall be a yorei shemayim, and it's for that reason you're not allowed.
Why didn't everyone cover their head?
What? What?
Why didn't everybody cover their head?
Only so why didn't everyone cover their head in ancient times? I don't know the answer. I don't know.
The Gemara
says you shall cover your head in order to demonstrate, to bring upon yourself.
At that time. It didn't go back.
Correct. You are correct. The question is when you make a bracha, and that's so posh at the start of that time. I don't know. The Kohanim wore a hat when they did the Avoda. They must be wearing a hat. In the time of the Gemara, did they wear a head covering when they made a bracha, when you said Hashem's name? If I'm not mistaken, the halach of covering your head when you make a bracha always existed. Even before the time of the Gemara. And the Gemara was coming to tell you that you should wear a head covering even when you're not making a bracha. And it wasn't even necessarily said for everyone. It was only said for certain people who had a tendency, disposition to do aveiros. So it's a reminder that you should have some Yerushalayim, so therefore wear a head covering all the time. And that became a minhag amongst many, many Jews to wear a head covering all the time, and then became a different topic of discussion is, do you wear a head covering when you mingle with the goyim? When you're out there in the world, do you also wear a head covering? So some do, some don't. It is what it is, but when you make a blessing and you say Hashem's name, everyone agrees you must wear a head covering, and it could very well be, I don't know for sure, that is a halacha that applied even before the Gemara came along and said, cover your head. The Gemara was just coming to expand that you should wear a head covering even when you're not making a blessing. Fine. But it's a given that the wearing a covering on your head is an expression of Yiras Elokim. Which one of these three head coverings They all really represent the same thing. The Kohen Gadol has on his forehead a plate of gold that says, Kodesh LaHashem. On his forehead, it's written, a big banner. It's a big banner. It's like you go downstairs to the center and there's an electronic sign. Has good morning, happy birthday. Okay? A big sign on your forehead. Kodesh LaHashem. And then there's the tefillin. But there, Hashem's name appears, but it's in concealment. It's in hiding. In hiding. Which one has more Kedusha? Tefillin or the tzitz? If I'm not mistaken, the Gemara says that the tefillin has even more Kedusha than the tzitz. Because the tefillin has Hashem's name 21 times. Madoch, when you're wearing the tzitz, you're not allowed to be Messiah. The Gemara says, V'hoyal mitzchoy tamid. When the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz, he's not allowed to be Messiah das because it says the word tamid. Kol shekem, when you wear tefillin, you're not allowed to be Messiah das because Hashem's name appears in the tefillin 21 times. And then there's the Migbois. In this week's parsha, the Migbois, the head covering. Now I know you're going to chap me on the fact that what I'm saying now, it only seemingly says by the Kohen Hedyot. Because the Kohen Hedyot wore the Migbas, and the Kohen Gadol wore a Mitznefes. I know what you're going to challenge me, but yet, don't confuse me with the facts for the moment. When the Torah here in Parshas Pekudei describes the head covering, it says something different that it doesn't say ever before. Parshas Pekudei is chock full of chidushim. There are a lot of chidushim in this week's parsha that it doesn't say by the building of the Mishkan and by the Tzivui and by Moshe. They did a lot of different things. And it's called the Pa'arei Migbois. Pa'arei means pe'er. The glorious head coverings. The pe'er. I'm assuming that when it says the Pa'arei Migbois, the word pe'er on the head coverings goes on the Kohen Gadol as well. Why is it called glorious? Glorious, we only use the word glorious, pe'er, for tefillin. Pe'er chovu sholecha, Hashem told Yechezkel, don't take off your tefillin. Pe'er chovu, your tefillin chovush, it should be attached to you. And that was said in reference to his tefillin. Why are the tefillin called a pe'er? Because the tefillin carry the Shem Hashem. You know, you have the shin on the outside, which is an allusion to the Shem Hashem, just one letter, and inside you have Hashem's name 21 times, Pe'ercha. And here, look at that, we're calling the head covering of the Kohanim a Pe'er, the Pa'arei Migbois. Why is it glorious? Because when you're wearing something that brings upon you Yiras Elohim, Hashem, not just Hashem, it's the element of Yira, of your conscience of Hashem's presence, that's glorious. That's indeed the greatest pe'er, yokar. Look at Mordechai. Mordechai yotze melefnei ha'melech belevush malchus techeles v'chor v'yateres zohav gidla, crown of gold. Chazal, the targum there says, refers to tefillin, the techeles, the tzitzis, and he went out with the tefillin. Tefillin, and it's called the Ateres Zahav Gedolah. It's an allusion to the tefillin. So what is the holiest of all three? So I want to suggest to you the holiest of all three. You have three things on the Kohen Gadol's head. All three really represent the same thing. Kodesh LaHashem. Hashem's name is hidden. V'Anochi Hastir Astir Ponai. And then there is the Pa'arei Migbaos. Guess what? It doesn't even say Hashem's name on the hat. Nowhere in the hat does it say Yud Kei Vav Kei. Not Begolui and not Beseser. But yet, you know what the hat does? It instills in you Yiras Elohim without even mentioning Hashem's name. Look at the madregos you're going up. The Kohen Gadol has three madregos of Yiras Elohim. on the forehead, begoloi, kodesh laHashem. The next level, tefillin. Hashem's name is there. Where? Where's Hashem's name? I don't see. I see a box on your head. I see a black box. In the airport, they go meshuggah. You know, they get very nervous. What is this black box? These straps. It looks like a bomb. It looks like explosives. You know the var with the shin bet when they came to Rav Moshe when Menachem Begin came to the Lower East Side and met with Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and all the Gedolim were invited to come. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, I think Rav Rudiman was there, Rav Hudner was there. Rav Hudner. So the shin bet came to sweep the apartment. There should be no explosives. So Rav Hudner, he said to the shin bet, who was there, security, what are you looking for? Explosives?
Uh-oh.
Explosives? He pointed to the Igros Moshe. These are the real explosives. The Igros Moshe, this is the real deal. What? Today, if you would say that, they would arrest you. No doubt in my mind, they would put you in jail for saying that. It was a different world. It was the world was so much purer than it is today. Today, such a story couldn't happen. It couldn't happen in so many different ways. It couldn't happen, such a story today. And it wasn't so long ago. It's a whole new world we're living in. But in any event, Where is Hashem's name on the tefillin? Where? I don't see it. It's hidden. Where? You got to open up the box, take out the little things inside, open them up, and then unfold it, and you'll find Hashem inside. And then you go to the highest madrega. The highest! It's high! It's on top! The tzitz is low. The tefillin is in the middle. What is the Gresta Madrega? The head covering. It's called the Pare Migbos. This is the real deal. The glory. Why is it the most glorious thing? There's no name of Hashem. Doesn't say it. It's not even to be found in the inside. You can't touch it. But what it achieves, it's the real deal. It instills what it's supposed to do. If you take, when you wear a head covering, you think about Hashem. It instills in you, kasei roshech, cover your head, so you should be a yorei shemayim. Should be a yorei shemayim. Kasei roshech. No, you say kiyod al keis ko. Okay, let's not go on. Let's not another time. Okay, now I just want to give you another example to illustrate this point, to illustrate exactly what I just said. We'll end with that, and that is the end of the parasha. Under the parasha, it says that we have a stira. Moshe could not, when they finished the Mishkan, everything was all said and done, Moshe wants to come and talk to Hashem. So it says that Moshe couldn't enter. He could not enter into the Mishkan because there was a cloud. He couldn't come. Okay, let me get to the end of the parasha. It says Rashi, "V'lo yochel Moshe lo ve'olol moed." Pasuk Lamedei, he couldn't go. V'lo yochel Moshe lo ve'olol moed. Ki shochan olav he'onan uchvoid Hashem moleis haMishkan. Stira. There's another pasuk that says, "V'chasav echad omer uvevoy Moshe olol moed." Moshe went right inside. Rashi asks the question. Bo hakosuf hashlishi v'yichliya b'neyem. Moshe could not enter when the cloud was present. Ki shochan olav ha'onan. But when Emaviyata calls man shahoya olav ha'onan, lo hoya yochol lovay. Nistalek ha'onan. When the cloud went away, now I can enter. And now we can speak. What are you talking about? If the cloud goes away, there's no one to talk to. The Shekhinah is resting in the cloud. Isn't that what it says? It says, "V'lo yochel Moshe lova el ol moed ki shachan alav he'anan uchvoid Hashem molei es haMishkan." The cloud is where the Shekhinah is present. So Moshe, when the cloud is present, Moshe can't go and communicate with Hashem. So when the cloud goes away, now I can go in and I can communicate. What do you mean? But if the cloud goes away, there's no one to talk to. Hashem has gone back to Shemayim, and there's no one to talk to. No one's home. That's exactly the point. That's the lesson. Just the opposite. When the cloud is here, this revelation, that's when there's no one to talk to. The whole purpose of this world is to find Hashem in the places that are not obvious. When the cloud is here and there's a revelation of Hashem's presence, you don't need to talk to that's not what you're here for. When the cloud goes away, and now, where is Hashem? That is where you'll find Hashem. You find Hashem in the moments, in the times of hiddenness. That is where there's the ultimate communication between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Purim is all about the ultimate communication. The Anoichi Hastir Astir Panai. Where did Klal Yisrael find Hashem and communicate with Hashem? Purim. And what was Purim? There was no cloud. It was Hester Panim. That's where the communication lies. When the cloud is present, then there is no cloud. The mission is when there's nothing there. Where is what's called the Pe'er of Yiras Shamayim? You walk around with a big sign on your back, Kodesh LaHashem, a big kapata, a big hat, big payas, a big beard, the big payas, the big beard, and the big kapata, Kodesh LaHashem is the tzitz. Tefillin is already a notch up. Doesn't say on that black box, Kodesh LaHashem. But Hashem is in there, somewhere. No one even knows how to open up your tefillin. It's not so easy to cut open those little, you know, you have to know where to open it up from. But the highest madrega is what it represents. You put on a little kippah sruga, and it tells you, be a Yoresh Shemayim. Be a Yoresh Shemayim. It doesn't say Yud Kei Vav Kei. Not Begol, but not Benhester. It's invisible. It's a reminder that Hashem is here no matter what. Even when the Yud Kei Vav Kei is not physically present, it's a reminder you still have to be Yoresh Shemayim. The Yarmulke is when the cloud disappears, that is where you enter and you can speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. I am on the Israel.